It's funny. It was not at first sight, but then he didn't call me for a week. And
what?
So then I called the friend back and I said, okay, we need to set up a second date. And so the four of us went and played tennis, and then it was love at second sight.
How do you find joy in life's difficult moments? Life is full of challenges, both big and small. Come explore some sticky moments with the women of Reed Memorial and be inspired to find, keep, and share joy in life's journey. On behalf of Reed Memorial, join me, Joy Maple, for our podcast study and helpful resource page to encourage you to find joy in life's sticky moments. Welcome back to Finding Joy in Life's Sticky Moments. Boy, is it getting chilly out there. I'm so excited as it is the day before Thanksgiving. So I'm so glad that you're with us, and I hope that you are enjoying some time with your family and getting ready for that turkey. And just let's get together today with my friend Catherine McLeod. Welcome, Catherine. We're so glad you're with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Atlanta and then went off to college and came to Augusta for medical school. And I've been here ever since, so for 30 years.
Wow. Okay. So Augusta has officially become your home then.
Absolutely.
All right. So tell us a little bit more. What else do you do?
Okay. I am married. I got married to somebody I got set up with on a blind date. And we've been married for 27 years. We have four kids, and everybody is out of the house except for our last one. He's a junior in high school.
So celebration is coming soon, is what you're saying.
Big time. I am a pediatrician. I'm what they call a hospitalist, so I mainly do inpatient care.
Gotcha.
And
you've been doing that for how long?
Really all my career, but really just inpatient the last 3 years.
Gotcha. So you were in all this craziness with this COVID stuff.
That's right.
What are you seeing? Just FYI, give us the 411 about kids and COVID and what's happening at the hospital.
You know, it does seem to be slowing down. So that's good.
Yeah.
Probably the worst part of the job was last year when we had to take care of adults.
You were like, no, I picked children for a reason.
Yes, and I remembered that reason very quickly. I think that's about me. I have some hobbies.
Tell us what you like to do in your free time.
Well, I have two dogs and a cat that also take up a lot of time and like to walk my dogs. I'm a runner. I also swim and play in the garden.
And you're also a pretty strong reader. She likes to read, everybody.
I love to read.
Yeah. So she's got lots of hobbies. You know, when she's not being a pediatrician and a mom to four and a wife to David, goodness gracious. All right. So you are here today because obviously there's been some sticky moment in your life. Tell us a little bit about that sticky moment.
Yeah. So it happened a long time ago. When I was about 9 and my parents got divorced, I had a sister who at the time was 6. So we were very young and, you know, it's hard to remember a lot, but
sure.
it was a very difficult journey. And, you know, I think as you and I have talked, I realized that this journey isn't over. Mm-hmm. It's been a journey, a long journey, but that's kind of where it started.
Right. And so you have this little sister, she's just a few years younger, and you're pretty young yourself. 9 is, you know, that's a pretty, third, fourth grade, somewhere
third
around
grade,
there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you have to, soldier on and be the big sister, or was that something that you both just kind of joined forces together, or was she just so much younger that she wasn't aware of what was going on?
I think we don't remember, and we talk a lot about this, and I'm not sure either of us have a memory. I think all four of us, my father, my mother, the two of us, we really struggled, and probably in silos.
Sure.
And we just got through it. I'm not sure it was graceful.
You're not sure how it happened, but divorce is difficult, yeah. And it's such a common issue. You don't want to make light of it in any way, shape, or form, because it affects the whole family, not just the couple that's getting divorced, but the children and all that. So that was a pretty difficult time. And and kind of how did things transpire? Did things get normalized? Did everything calm down for a while? Or
So for multiple reasons, I ended up moving in with my father, who had then just recently gotten remarried. So at the end of my sixth grade year, I moved in with them. Brand new. They'd been married for 3 months.
They were probably, I'm sure his wife, your stepmother, was probably like, oh, great. And plus,
I didn't sign up for this.
You are in middle school. And, you know, I'm just going to say, people are special that teach middle school, because I don't think I could do it, you know? So that's a tough age for you and for your stepmother and for probably even for your dad. But so everything, how did that go?
You know, it was great. At the time I was their only child. Unfortunately, my sister, we were separated for several years. She lived with my mom. I lived with my dad. And, you know, I had gotten to a point, I did not know how to study, and I almost failed out of sixth grade.
So you moved, you got this new stepmom, and you're not doing well in school. Okay, Catherine, come on. Let's stir the pot a little bit more, why don't you?
I was surprised. At that time, I was very teachable. I needed attention, and I got it together during middle school, and it was a good time, and we got through it. And during middle school, they had a daughter, and then 2 years later, a second daughter, and that was wonderful. I loved having more sisters. The time in middle school and then high school, when I had kind of figured out how to study and was doing well and could do things on my own, it was good. We had a fun house, and so that was a good time.
And then it was time you graduated and you had these little sisters. Now, okay, so how old were they when you graduated from high school?
Yeah, they were 5 and 3.
Wow, they were really little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's like a whole different thing.
Right.
So you were the built-in babysitter is what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
So were you like, yes, I'm ready to get out of here and go off to college?
No, I wasn't. But I somehow ended up in Virginia, very far away. And I think they were ready for me to go the next step, and I got up there, and I had a lot of issues with homesickness.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're in Virginia. That's not like, oh, let me come home for the weekend. You know?
Yeah.
So how often did you come home, and was it harder when you did come home?
Yeah. When I did come home, the focus was not on me. It was not on my favorite meal. It was, you know, they had
all these little children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had other stuff going on.
You know, some lessons for this or that.
Exactly.
And school stuff.
Yes.
And you were like, wait, I'm home. Pay attention. And they're like, sorry, we're out. You know,
that was a challenge then. It has, you know, continued to be a challenge. Of course, I'm the oldest, and they ended up having a total of 3 girls. So I'm the oldest of 5 girls.
Wow.
And, I just never got over being the oldest and wanting all the attention, I think.
Well, so you felt like you were kind of not really ready? Is that what I'm getting? That you maybe weren't ready for this college experience, but it was kind of like, okay, well, too bad. we got other things going on here, girl. You gotta go.
Yeah. Really, it was, we had a great relationship in high school, and they were my confidants, and but that changed when I went off to college.
Well, let me ask you something too. Back up just a second about your family life growing up. What is your faith tradition in your story there? And what about your parents? Were they churchgoers? Were you brought up in the church? Mm-hmm. Anything like that?
With my mom, I remember going to a huge Episcopalian church, which did not speak to me. I mean, it was a lot of
routine and ritual.
And so that didn't speak to me. And Sunday school was listening to tapes and answering questions. It felt like school. So there really wasn't a heart in that church. And then when I moved in with my father, I went to ninth grade confirmation, and that was it. And so I really didn't learn much about the Bible.
So you really didn't have an active faith, so to speak. I mean, right. You knew some basic foundational things, but you just, so you go off to college, you don't feel quite prepared, you're a little bit homesick and lonely, and you don't really have a faith base even to lean on. So What happens in college?
So I ran cross country and track in college, and there was a girl my year who came from West Virginia. We became best friends probably first day of practice.
Wow.
And she had a very strong faith, and she invited me to church with her some. I didn't go every Sunday, but she really modeled Christian behavior, compassion, love. She was really the first and just a great role model for me.
Sounds like also hospitality. I mean, to invite you along, to include you, to share her story with you, and that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So did you rely on that? Did you find that fed you in some way while you were at college?
But just even being around her and then my future two roommates, the four of us, it was just a lovely relationship, a family. Mm-hmm. That I really relied on, you know.
So all of a sudden, you had this new family, and it was the family you choose, which are your friends, and then you felt like you had a sense of belonging, it sounds like, there.
Absolutely.
So were you like, oh, it's almost summer, I got to go home soon. Or were you like, oh, let's stay, you know? I mean, did things get better at college after that?
They did, yeah. I think I got through that first semester. I found my new friends, and running was great, and just I kind of relaxed, and things were good.
Now, did you know from day one when you walked into college, I am going to be a doctor, I want to do this, or were you one of those that goes, I have no clue?
My three roommates were all English majors, and I knew I wasn't going to be an English major.
Me neither.
I was always good at math and science, so I was a chemistry major and just loved that. I had a guy who was a year ahead of me who was going to medical school. I think that's probably why I went to medical school. My grandfather was a doctor, but none of my dad nor my uncles were. So that just kind of
inspired
happened.
You.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Happened. How do you happen to go to medical school? You know, that's not something I happen to do, you know?
But you know, I knew I was good at science and, loved children. I think I had the intention of going to medical school to be a pediatrician.
So, okay, we go to undergrad, and now it's time for med school. Mm-hmm. Where did you go to med school?
I went here. This is what introduced me to Augusta.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. And then what happened?
And then I met Mr. Wright, actually Mr. Wright's brother, David. His brother's name is Wright.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, we got set up on a blind date by a friend of his who was in my class, and that was great. I mean, he's from Augusta. I got to – it was neat because I got to meet him, and his whole family was here, and just the warmth and acceptance of, you know, not only his parents, but his extended family
who
live in Augusta. It just, it felt like home, and they have two boys, so they just were joyful to have a girl.
Right, right. Well, and it must be a little different, too, because you came from Atlanta, mm-hmm. which is, a big city, mm-hmm. and then you go off to Virginia, and here's a guy that has grown up here, mm-hmm. and his family is rooted here, and there's just this sense of community. There's just a sense of belonging, a sense of family. This whole unit is just rooted here at Augusta. Yeah. And that must have been like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. I have loved Augusta from the second I got here. This town is just family and comfortable and just easy. And I would never get back to Atlanta.
Like, no. Well, it's, I think of Augusta and I always think it's this big, small town, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. and everybody knows everybody. And David growing up here and his mother and what she has done in our community. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, oh, everybody knows those McLeods, So was that overwhelming at all? Like just to see a family like David's and coming from the situation you came from, were you like, oh my goodness, I can't handle this? Or were you like, oh, please, please, I want more of this?
Yeah, I wanted more. Mm-hmm. And his parents have just always accepted me, always been just so lovely. And I think they were as thankful for me as I was for them.
So I got to ask, and just between the two of us, no one's listening really, was it love at first sight?
For David?
For either one of you.
Well, it's funny. It was not at first sight, but then he didn't call me for a week. And
what?
So then I called the friend back and I said, okay, we need to set up a second date. And so the four of us went and played tennis, and then it was love at second sight.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So he proposes. Were you about to have heart palpitations when he proposed? Not just because every girl is excited and dreams of that day, but also, gosh, that's an undertaking that you haven't really seen super successfully.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't feel like you have the tools in your toolbox to do. So mm-hmm. were you at all nervous about marriage and that next step?
I wasn't. I just...
Good for you.
My sister mm-hmm. Definitely has dealt with those issues, but I don't know. I think I had a peace about this, and we had mutual friends in Atlanta, and I felt good about everything. I loved his family. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It was like, nope, it was all good. Check, check. So you get married and then you decide to have a family. Now, what was that a nervous time for you? Or were you like, no, I want to have a big old brood of four kids? Or yeah.
I do remember having to wait a little bit after we got married. Number one, I was doing residency. I couldn't do it all. And I had babysat a lot, and I didn't realize there's a difference taking care of children as their mother versus sister or babysitter, and there is a lovely difference. But I just wasn't quite ready, so we didn't have children for maybe the first 5 years of our marriage.
Oh wow! So mm-hmm. you really had some nice time together, mm-hmm. and
yeah, during my residency, I was on every other night.
You had a few little other things going on. And so you started to have children. And what did your outlook do when you had children as far as what you did for your work? Like, did you change the way you look at being a pediatrician once you were a mother? Or did you get softer in any way? Or were you like, no, they need to follow these guidelines?
Oh, absolutely. I got softer. I used to think, oh my gosh, I can't believe I used to tell mothers that.
Really?
Yeah. I thought this is probably one of the few jobs where having children is beneficial, because yeah, I think I was probably I was able to give advice better because I've been through it.
Kind of empathize mm-hmm. with all their struggles because you're like, I'm there too. I'm not sleeping either, you know?
Yeah.
So you go and you start having these kids and you have four of them. Mm-hmm. Did you know you wanted to have four? Or were you like, oh, we're just going to have the two with the dog? And then all of a sudden we've got multiple dogs. We've got a cat. We've got multiple children.
Yeah. I knew I didn't want just two because mm-hmm. when it initially had been my sister and if I was mad at her, there was nobody else to talk to. And I had seen that with all my other sisters, it was fun.
And just to have a big family. Yeah.
So we got to three and I wanted another one. And then when I got pregnant with the fourth, I was like, oh, what have we done?
We're done.
No, but it was good.
I know. I always laugh and tell people, you know, well, when you have two, it's like man to man. But when you go over that, it's zone defense, you know, and you definitely had to be in the zone, you know. Yeah. I think David just wanted like a basketball team. He was going to push for a few more, you know, just so he could have, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm, so all that sporting stuff that David likes to do, but and you do too. So you've had this family, and you know, how has your experience as a product of divorce affected the way you parent or the way you do your job or the way you approach marriage?
Well, I guess with my marriage, you know, you've got to forgive, and I will say David's a very easy spouse. But you have to choose what you're going to let go. I mean, I guess with kids too, but, sure. I think that I saw that modeled the nagging, nitpicking, and that was not constructive.
Sure. So you saw some things that you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Did you have anybody in your life or that you could look to and say, gosh, they had something really cool, and I hope that David and I have that?
My aunt and uncle, my father's brother and his wife, unintentionally, but definitely modeled a loving marriage. And, you know, they aren't necessarily in the church, but they have been through a lot of very difficult things and loved each other, stayed together, gave each other. You know, they were the ones that modeled going on vacations with friends without each other. So my uncle is an avid fisherman. He does a trip a year with his guys, and my aunt goes on a trip with her girls, and it made me realize how important friends are. Mm-hmm. You know, your husband, your spouse can provide so much, but then you need to fill this other side.
Yeah, they can't do everything for you. You know, your spouse can't be your end-all, be-all. Yeah. You have to have some other outlets is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay, so how about parenting and you know, how you approach being a parent to those four kids that you, no fault of their own, your parents, but maybe that you were like, you know what, I didn't feel this way when I was growing up, and I want my kids to feel this way, or I loved this, but I wish we did more of it.
Right.
Did you have some of those things that you intentionally set out to do as a parent or to approach differently?
Yeah. My time at home was limited. I was there at nights. David was there during the day. That was a great thing. David is, he's a lot of fun. So
the kids were like, woo, we got dad.
They play games all day. It probably worked out well. You know, so I was in charge typically of bath time and homework and dinner, all of that. But my favorite thing ever was reading with them. I read every night with them until they were about sixth grade. That is awesome. Precious moments for me, just snuggling, and you know, more than anything, just telling them I love them, hugging them, kissing them. I still do that all the time. I mean, and my children reply back to me, I love you. That's something that I still don't tell my dad, you know.
I got you.
So just making them feel loved was huge.
What about the way you communicate with them as far as, you know, just talking about issues and things like that? Did you feel like because your parents had gone through this divorce and there was stress and tension, whether it be between the two of them or raising children or careers or whatever, did you feel like you could go and talk to them and, you know, and how do you do to handle that with your own children?
Forever, I didn't talk about family stuff with the kids. And actually, you know, a lovely thing that happened was my mother was very involved with our family when the kids were little. Mm-hmm. It was almost a do-over. Right. And so it was lovely to see her with my children. They loved her to death. And, I mean, that was really neat. Mm-hmm. I think that I've shared stuff as they've gotten older and been able to handle things. And as they've seen things play out as
sure.
my adult life with family. And I maybe get upset sometimes about things with them, and I say, this is why.
Right. There's history there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So... without going into specifics.
Yeah, exactly.
But just they know how very important my nuclear, our six, are to me. And it's really important that we get along and we support each other because...
Right. That's something you value tremendously. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, just as kids are, they're so observant. And so they've seen, oh, well, you know, my grandmother on my mom's side does this, but she's not married to my grandfather on my mom's side. And mm-hmm. and then I have this step-grandma, and we call her this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's different when then they look at their dad's family and it's like, oh, there they are.
Right.
And so there's bound to be some questions because
yeah.
it is different. And so, you know, you have to answer those questions when the time is right and you feel like
yeah.
they can handle that information and then they can make decisions for themselves. So it sounds like you intentionally are really committed to communication and encouragement and loving attitudes and behaviors with your family. So how does this transpire into your professional life as well? Like, you know, I'm sure that you see families all the time going through divorce. I mean, that is a sticky moment for, what is it now, 60% or like 55 or whatever it is. It's a huge number for most families. So when they're coming into you and, you know, maybe mom brought the last time, but dad's bringing today and doesn't know the history. Or how do you handle that? And what do you do to show grace to families that are going through stuff
yeah.
like this?
I think in my reading, the most important thing and something that I go through is, you know, talk to the child, you know, your mom and your dad love you. That it has nothing to do with you, and reassuring them of that, and also talking to the parents about how important it is for them to get along for the children, mm-hmm. And not use the children to be the go-between.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, I guess I do deal with divorced families, but I deal with a lot of single moms, and... you know, I think that seeing them has maybe helped me understand my mom a little bit better, you know.
Right. And, have some sympathy or
yeah.
have some compassion for
yeah.
the struggle that maybe she went through.
Right. Being a single mom and she was so young. And so it was a hard time. And at the time, I didn't understand it, maybe, and mm-hmm. but it's helped me give her grace, too.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. So I got to ask you, what is one thing that you learned about yourself in this sticky moment, or I should say, moments or journey of divorce?
I think it is that it is a journey. you know, one thing I always just am amazed about you, Joy, is you just, something bad happens and you move on. I struggle and have to wrestle and continue. And so though my parents got divorced 40 years ago, there's still baggage and stuff I deal with. I have talked with therapists, you know, that comes and goes, and friends who know my story, we, you know, when I'm having a hard time, talk through with me, prayer, mm-hmm. and yeah, so it's a journey.
Well, so it sounds to me like one of the things that I can say that you've gotten is that it's a discernment process, kind of, yeah. and yet there's probably some hurt because, you know, divorce is hard. And, you know, you were a kid and then you grew up and then you were by yourself. And here you are now also raising a family of your own. And so I think there's that whole feeling of, you know, wow, this is a journey and it hasn't been easy. And maybe I'm giving others grace and as well myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes it's kind of like grief, which it is grief, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's not linear. It doesn't go A, B, C. It can go from A to Z to B to F, you know, mm-hmm. and all over the place. And so I think cut yourself some slack. Give yourself some grace. Okay. You've done a great job. I mean, you are a superwoman, you know, you really are. And to that moment when you went off to college, I think, wow, you know, that is nerve-wracking. You're hours away. I mean, a long time way away. And you were forced to sink or swim. And you were a swimmer, girl. You swam all the way. It was like the Olympic gold medal. And you have this wonderful family and a great career and these super children. And so I definitely think that's a lot of positive that has come out of this very sticky moment journey experience. So what do you hope comes from this journey that you've been on?
I hope to see my kids become great parents. I hope that, you know, I modeled that for them, and I can't wait. I hope they have children and can't wait to meet my grandchildren. I hope that I've been able to model love and compassion, and I look forward. They are growing into adults, and I do love, you know, having that adult relationship with them. I look forward to having that grandchild relationship. And, you know, there's some things I messed up. I've certainly told my kids sorry a ton of times, but maybe I get a do-over with my grandchildren.
Grandchildren, I mean, they, that's like, whew, wow.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah, no. No, I hear exactly what you're saying. I know that, you know, after you've gone through the journey that you've had, I would be just like you. I would want to see how their upbringing has affected who they are as adults and how they're going to be as spouses and how they're going to be as parents and what they're going to feel in their career. And hopefully, and I feel very confident that you and David have done a great job and they will feel supported and loved, and that they will, of course, be calling you up for babysitting. That's all I'm going to say. Well, I am so glad that you were with us today. And you talked about a subject that I think so many people can relate to. And it is a struggle, and it's not over and done with. It is a journey, and it just is one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you've said, it was the different people along the way, those little angels that were here on this earth for you. It yeah. was also the Holy Spirit at work, and maybe in that career, and maybe that blind date, and all that journey. And basically, it's also your determination to succeed and to love differently. And I just think that you are a great mom and a pediatrician and a great wife. And I'm so glad you were with us today.
Thank you, Joy.
Today we've talked a lot about parenting and about child rearing and marriage, and I want you to mark your calendars for January the 21st and 22nd. Reed Memorial is joining forces with Trinity on the Hill. We're going to bring you Raising Boys and Girls Conference. If you are familiar, you're going to hear Sissy Goff and Dave Thomas, counselors, authors, and co-hosts of Raising Boys and Girls podcast, and they will address the challenges of raising children in today's world. Whether you're a new parent or have teenagers, this event is for you. So mark your calendars for January 21st and 22nd, 2022. Join us every second and fourth Wednesday of the month on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and our website, readchurchaugusta.org.